Ayat Alawi was the first prime minister of Iraq after Saddam Hussein, but Nouri al-Maliki took over after the elections of 2005. Al-Maliki is the prime minister, but not for long, because Alawi won the election this year. But the election commission has disqualified some of his party's newly elected members, which means al-Maliki, and not Alawi, may end up forming the government. Confused yet?
Who's in charge?
Who's in charge?
The tangled, contorted politics of Baghdad are complicated by the arcane details of election law, interpreted by the country's Supreme Court. The Shiites could take power, and the Sunnis could be excluded, even though they won the election. Which again leads us to the question.
Who's in charge? It's not the president.
Who's in charge in Iraq? Who knows? It's The Takeaway.
All across America, this is The Takeaway with John Hockenberry and Celeste Headlee from Public Radio International and WNYC.
Good morning. It's Tuesday, March 30th, and it could be months, actually, before we know who is taking over the government and ruling Iraq for all intents and purposes.
Meanwhile, U.S. forces are probably in charge on a street-to-street basis, that's for sure. Let's get a check of the morning's top news stories. Moscow paused to mourn its dead this morning. Earlier, we spoke to Bridget Kendall, the BBC's diplomatic correspondent in the Moscow bureau.
At the stations where the bombings took place, which are now up and running, actually impromptu piles of red carnations have grown overnight.
Amid those makeshift memorials, police with machine guns are patrolling the subway entrances throughout the city. The death toll now stands at 39, a day after a pair of female suicide bombers attacked two trains. Secretary of State Hillary Clinton says the U.S. is in solidarity with Russia.
We face a common enemy. Whether you're in a Moscow subway or a London subway or a train in Madrid or an office building in New York.
Russian authorities claim Chechen separatists are behind yesterday's attacks.
In the aftermath of Iraq's parliamentary elections, politics there, messy. There's a move to disqualify six winners because of their ties to Saddam Hussein's Ba'ath Party. We're joined now by Megan O'Sullivan, the former deputy national security advisor on Iraq and Afghanistan during the Bush administration. So Megan, who really controls the government in Iraq? Is it the prime minister or is it the party that ends up forming the coalition government for parliament?
Well, under Iraq's constitution, the prime minister is unquestionably the most important individual, but it's a parliamentary system, not an executive one like the United States. So the prime minister has a limited amount of room to operate in a way which would alienate the majority of parliament because they can, at the end of the day, remove him.
So the person setting the policies may end up be the person who makes the decisions on government for politics. But we're going to talk about you more about this. Megan O'Sullivan, stay with us.
With the political situation in Iraq still playing out, NATO is preparing to launch an offensive against the Afghan city of Kandahar this summer. Senior U.S. military official says the assault will begin in June. The goal is to finish by the holy month of Ramadan in August. Nine members of what federal prosecutors call a Christian warrior militia are now in police custody. A final arrest came last night when the militia's leader's son surrendered to police. The group is accused of plotting to kill policemen in hopes of sparking an anti-government uprising throughout America.
Taking a look at the markets, Asian and European markets are up. Futures are up as well. The Dow starts at 10,895, the S&P at 1,173, and the Nasdaq at 2,404. We're going to be talking with Education Secretary Arne Duncan today for our series Getting Schooled. We're looking at the decision on Race to Top, No Child Left Behind, and everything else. You can take your questions at 8778-MY-TAKE.
No Education Secretary left behind on this program, that's for sure. If there was a national curriculum, think about this for a moment, what do you think there should be as a required class besides the obvious, math, reading?
My name is Meg Gathaway, and I'm calling from Kennesaw, Georgia, and I think that there should be finance classes for elementary school students and just in education in general.
Great idea. We want yours. For Arne Duncan, the Education Secretary, coming up later this hour, 8778-MY-TAKE, or post to our site, thetakeaway.org. Get your hands up. We're calling on you. It's The Takeaway's education series all week long.
I'm David Remnick, host of the New Yorker Radio Hour. There's nothing like finding a story you can really sink into that lets you tune out the noise and focus on what matters. In print or here on the podcast, The New Yorker brings you thoughtfulness and depth and even humor that you can't find anywhere else. So please join me every week for The New Yorker Radio Hour, wherever you listen to podcasts.